They could not approach the Temple of Love too closely on horseback. Unlike Taita, Fenn's skills were not sufficient to conceal a large party of horses and men. They left the horses with Merrin and Nakontu, hidden in a dense stand of trees, and the two girls went forward alone on foot. Sidudu was carrying 4 small linen bags of herbs tied round her waist under her skirt. They climbed up through the forest until they reached a crest of higher ground and could look down into the valley beyond. The temple stood at the far end. It was built of yellow sandstone, a large, gracious building surrounded by lawns and pools of water on which floated the leaves of a gigantic water lily. There was the faint sound of revelry, and they saw a gathering of women on the bank of the largest pool. Some were sitting in a circle singing and clapping, while others danced to the music. "We did that every day at this time," Sidudu whispered. "They are waiting for the men to visit them." "Do you recognize any of them?" Fenn asked. "I am not sure. We are too far away for me to tell." Sidudu shaded her eyes. "Wait! The girl on her own at the side of the pool, do you see her? That is my friend Jinga." Fenn studied a willowy girl who was walking along the bank of the pool. She was dressed in a short chiton. Her arms and long legs were bare, and there were yellow flowers in her hair. "How reliable is she?" Fenn asked. "She is a little older than most of the others, the most sensible of them all. They look up to her." "We will go down to speak to her," Fenn said, but Sidudu seized her arm. "Look," she said, her voice shaking. Just below where they crouched on the ridge, a file of shaggy black shapes emerged from the trees. They lolloped along on all fours, knuckling the ground with their hands. "Trogs!" The great apes were circling the periphery of the temple grounds, but keeping out of sight of the women on the lawns. Every few paces, one sniffed at the ground with dilated nostrils, searching for the scent of strangers or runaways from the temple. "Can you mask our scent?" Sidudu asked. "The trogs have a keen sense of smell." "No," Fenn admitted. "We must let them pass before we go down to the girls." The trogs were moving rapidly and disappeared back among the trees. "Now," said Fenn. "Quickly!" She reached for Sidudu's hand. "Remember, don't speak and don't run or break contact with me. Move slowly and carefully." Fenn cast the spell over them, then led Sidudu down the slope. Sidudu's friend Jinga was still alone, sitting under a willow tree, throwing crumbs of durra cake to a shoal of fish in the water below her. The pair knelt beside her, and softly Fenn lifted the spell of concealment from Sidudu. She herself remained cloaked, so that Jinga was not startled by a strange face. The girl was so preoccupied with the swirling fish that for a while she was not aware of Sidudu. Then she started and half rose to her feet. Sidudu restrained her with a hand on her arm. "Jinga, don't be afraid." The girl stared at her, then smiled. "I didn't see you, Sidudu. Where have you been? I missed you so much. You have grown even more beautiful." "You also, Jinga," Sidudu kissed her. "But we have little time to talk. There is so much I must tell you." She studied the girl's face, and with dismay saw that the pupils of her eyes were dilated from a potion she had been given. "You must listen carefully to what I say," Sidudu spoke slowly, as though to a very young child. Jinga's eyes focused more clearly as she began to understand the enormity of what Sidudu was telling her. At last she whispered, "They are murdering our sisters." "It cannot be true." "It is, Jinga. You must believe me. But there is something we can do to prevent it." Quickly she explained about the herbs, how to prepare and administer them. "They only take the girls who are with child up the mountain. The medicine brought down my infant. You must give it to anyone who is in danger." Sidudu lifted her skirt and untied the bags of herbs from around her waist. "Hide these well. Don't let the priestesses find them. As soon as Dr. Hannah chooses a girl to go up the mountain to be exalted by the goddess, you must give her a potion. This is all that can save them." "I have already been chosen," Jinga whispered. "The doctor came 4 days ago and told me I was soon to meet the goddess." "Oh, my poor Jinga. "Then you must take it this very night, as soon as you were alone," Sududu told her. She embraced her friend again. "I cannot stay with you longer, but soon I will return with a band of good men to rescue you. We will take you and the others away to a new land where we will be safe. Warn them to be ready to leave." She released Jinga. "Hide the herbs well. They will save your life. Now go, and don't look back." As soon as Jinga had turned her back, Fen spread the cloak of concealment over Sududu. Jinga had gone no more than 20 paces before she glanced over her shoulder. Her face paled as she saw that Sududu had vanished. With a visible effort, she braced herself and walked away across the lawns towards the temple. Fen and Sududu started back through the forest. Halfway up the hill, Fen stepped off the path and stood perfectly still. She dared not speak, but squeezed Sududu's hand firmly to caution her to keep the spell intact. Barely breathing, the two girls watched a pair of huge black trogs shamble down the path towards them. The apes were swinging their heads from side to side as they searched the bushes that flanked the track, their eyes moving quickly beneath beetling brows. The male was the larger of the pair, but the female following him seemed more alert and aggressive. They drew level with the girls, and for a moment it seemed they would pass by. Then the female stopped abruptly, lifted her snout, flaring the wide nostrils and snuffling noisily at the air. The male followed her example, and both of them began to grunt softly but eagerly. The male gaped to display a vicious set of fangs, then gnashed them shut. They were so close that Fen smelt the stench of his breath. She felt Sududu's hand tremble in hers and squeezed her fingers again to encourage her. Both trogs hopped forward cautiously towards where they stood, still testing the air. The female lowered her head and sniffed the ground over which the girls had passed. She shuffled towards them slowly, following their scent. Sududu was shaking with terror, and Fen could sense the panic rising in her to the point when it must boil over. She drew deeply upon her training and sent out waves of psychic strength to steady her. But by now, the ape's questing snout was only inches from the toe of Sududu's sandal. Sududu urinated with terror. Her water ran down her legs, and the trog grunted again as she smelt it. The ape gathered herself to spring forward, but at that moment a small antelope rustled the bushes as it fled, and the male trog let out a ferocious bellow and bounded away in pursuit. Immediately the female went after him, passing so close to Sududu that she almost brushed against her. As the apes crashed away through the undergrowth, Sududu sagged against Fen and might have fallen to the ground if Fen had not grabbed her. Holding her close, Fen led her slowly up to the crest of the hill, taking care not to break the spell of concealment until they were out of sight of the temple. Then they ran to where Merin and Nkontu were waiting with the horses.